Up next, William Henry, investigative mythologist, with a controversy. Is the U.S. Capitol really a temple? A little discussion about George Washington, stargates, and yes, we'll ask William about the one-footed snorkel monster as well. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. William Henry, investigative mythologist, author of a lot of books and DVD presentations. His latest work, DVD style, The American Right. William offers dramatic new evidence of the U.S. Capitol being a repository of immense secret spiritual symbolism. In this paradigm-shattering work, he also reveals that the Capitol is not only a temple, but its symbolism indicates it's a stargate. This is a real national treasure of America, he says. Now's the time for these secrets to be revealed. Here he is, William Henry, back on Coast to Coast. William, how are you?
Terrific, George. Thank you for having me on tonight.
My pleasure, too. It's hard to believe how fast this year is going, huh?
I know.
Seems like... How about the traveling for you, by the way? You all over the place still?
All over the place, usually a couple times a month. I'm spending a lot of time in Philadelphia, D.C., Manhattan. There's so much to see in these places, and really excited about what's going on.
I got a couple emails and one phone call today, so I want to just get this one out of the way first. The one-footed snorkel monster.
I can't believe
they love that. So, well, tell me about this again.
Oh, gosh, this was a story. My sister and brother-in-law were involved with this about 10 years ago when a family in Cross Plains, Tennessee, just north of Nashville, typical Tennessee trailer park story where the father's awakened one night by the sound of footsteps or rain falling on the roof of their trailer. He gets up, goes outside, and looks into the sky and sees a UFO parked about a mile away up in the sky that is firing laser beams at a creature that he later described as the one-footed snorkel monster, because it looked like an elephant's trunk with one snorkel foot that was bouncing all over its deck, all over the place. The snorkel monster, to evade this UFO, and all of this is in a police report that was filed the next day, by the way.
How weird.
Yeah, the snorkel monster spun itself into a ball of light and vanished. And this father who reported the story said he felt as if this poor creature was trying to escape from some kind of zoo or something.
And that's it? That's where it ended?
Well, that's until I came on the story and started kind of talking about it and said, well, wait a minute. Excuse me. The one-footed snorkel monster, I've got several ancient and medieval depictions of a creature matching that exact description. And, in fact, in esoteric circles, that is one of the descriptions of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, that it had one snorkel foot. And so it just really makes you wonder what in the heck was going on in Cross Plains, Tennessee that night.
That is strange, William. It really is. Well, all right. I hope that satisfies the emailers and the caller. Tell me a little bit about this work now and this controversy about the U.S. Capitol.
Well, as we know, just this past week, December 2nd, the largest expansion ever of the U.S. Capitol was completed. And what it is, it's a visitor's center. It's enormous. $620 million project.
All marble, isn't it?
It's all marble and stone. That's right. It's beautiful. In fact, I'll be visiting it next week. And it's designed as a sort of gateway for visitors to the Capitol, and literally doubled the size of the Capitol instantly. It's all underground, which is significant. But the controversy started when Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid stood up and said, first of all, that he was glad because now House members would no longer have to smell the tourists lining up to enter the Capitol. And that's, you know, a very controversial statement in and of itself.
Sure.
Basically saying we're a bunch of cattle coming into to the House there. And then he goes on to say that, quote, today the People's Temple shines brighter than ever before.
Now, are they going to let people visit this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the point. It's right now, the capacity for visitors in the Capitol is around 2 to 3 million a year, and they expect to double that with this visitor center. So it's very exciting from that perspective.
Some people, though, claim, isn't it an underground bunker?
That's what they've been saying. This thing's such a boondoggle, and there are off-limits areas to it. I mean, the Congress has 170,000 square feet space underground. Some of it devoted to TV studios for interviews. There's other facilities. But then some are saying, well, they think it's actually an underground private bunker that Congress has built for itself in case of an attack or something like that.
Now, tell me a little bit more about how you were looking at the U.S. Capitol and the controversy, too. Is it really a temple?
Well, when Harry Reid makes this statement that it's the people's temple, he's using language that is historical, as a matter of fact. And, of course, a lot of the religious representatives were up in arms about this. What do you mean calling this place a temple?
Right.
In fact, when you enter into the visitor center, you are greeted by an inscription that says, we have built no temple but the U.S. Capitol. We serve no oracle but the Constitution. Now, that's an inscription from the Civil War era that is actually in the House wing of the Capitol. I took a photo of it recently, and I included it in my presentation because it is such a striking statement. It's like, wait a minute, we have built no temple but the Capitol. And then when you go back and when you go back and you look at the various statements throughout history of those who have described the Capitol as a temple, they make no bones about it. In fact, they, going back to the time of when they laid the cornerstone for the Capitol, they made an allusion to the Capitol being a recreation of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And then you have President Madison, who comes along and describes it as a solemn temple. And so when you add all this together, Thomas Jefferson called it the first temple dedicated to the sovereignty of the people. There's no question that they think of this structure as a temple.
Do you think the designers modeled it that way?
Absolutely, without a doubt. That was their intention. And so when you start to look into this and you peel back the layers of the symbolism in the Capitol, you're like, wait a minute, what is going on here? A few of the architectural features that make this a temple, that unquestionably identify it as a temple, are stone construction, an underground entrance, chapels, an image of a deified being, which we'll get to in a moment, who the god in the U.S. Capitol is, religious imagery and inscriptions, divine proportions, massive columns, palpable spiritual energy, acoustic trickery, terrifying guardians, mystic visitors, closed doors, private members, and an orientation to the sun.
Huh.
Those are all the features of a temple built into the U.S. Capitol. And then there's the dome.
All kinds of symbolism here, William.
Exactly. And the intention is, once again, to establish this as the people's temple, as the people's house. Now, of course, here in Nashville, buckle the Bible Belt, the religious conservatives were all up in arms, and we had one woman call into the local radio talk show saying, now, Jim Jones had a place called the People's Temple. Is Harry Reid talking about Jim Jones and the People's Temple? It's like, no, we're talking about the U.S. Capitol. And even representatives who I really have to ask the question of them if they've ever taken a tour of the U.S. Capitol, because as soon as you walk in, you're blown away by the symbolism. You're blown away by the imagery. It's overwhelming. And on a standard tour, they kind of whisk you through there, and you barely get a chance to catch your breath because you're, in a sense, you are in a state of alarm because of the grandeur of the place, the enormity of the place, and overall just the stunning beauty of the place. It's incredible.
Did we need to spend $620 million for this?
That's the controversial question. If the effect of this money is the effect that I think it will ultimately bring, yes, it's definitely worth it. We needed to do it because what it is going to do, George, is bring the people back into the house, and that's what has to happen right now. And so they have literally created a gateway where millions more people every year can go into the Capitol. And my presentation is called The American Rite, and I'm going to describe what I think is the ultimate ritual that went on and still probably goes on inside the Capitol.
A lot of people will say that there's a sinister motive behind the layout of this entire region of Washington, D.C. Would you agree with that?
Not at all. I mean, that is so easy to go into fear about all of this and to say that there's a Luciferian sort of
connection.
Connection. They see pentacles over the White House, which are probably there. They see in the street layout of Washington, D.C., various other symbols. But hey, if you want to see dark, you're going to see dark. If you want to see light, you're going to see light. And what my contribution to this conversation is to take it away from the layout of the streets of Washington. That's been well covered, but in these books about the Capitol, they just give just really short shrift, almost window treatment to the Capitol itself. Nobody looks at the Capitol and the actual symbolism, and that's what I've done in my presentation and will continue to do.
We're going to get into some Stargate secrets that William has uncovered in just a moment out that way. But, you know, when you talk about the U.S. Capitol is a temple, then, you know, to me, whenever you have a temple, you have someone you need to worship, right?
Yes.
Who would that be?
The God, the deity in the U.S. Capitol is the father, prophet, master, grand master of the country, George Washington. He is literally deified in the Capitol. And this is how I started my U.S. Capitol research quest, is I have been studying for years this painting called The Apotheosis of George Washington. Apotheosis is a Greek word that literally means raised from a man to a God-man. Now, what happens is in the Capitol, is in the dome of the Capitol, you have this fresco painted by an Italian painter named Brumidi right after the Civil War, when the new dome was put on the Capitol, during the Civil War. Washington is shown in the heavenly realms sitting on a rainbow. He has glorified beings all around him and mythological figures, and there is a sun gate right behind him. Now, on the coast site, I provided some images, and one of the images that I provided is a comparison of George Washington sitting on the rainbow with traditional images of Jesus enthroned on his rainbow throne, and the images match. They are a perfect match. The symbolism is interchangeable. The message is crystal clear. George Washington is the American Christ. He is the American God. Not only is he the father of this country, he is its grand master, and this is his temple.
Did he know about this while he was living?
Well, the Capitol was, of course, commissioned during his life. He and Thomas Jefferson were the primary visionaries behind its creation, and they sponsored a contest, especially Jefferson did, for designs for the Capitol. He was revered in his time as a God-man. There are esoteric belief that he was a divine-type figure. And so after the Civil War, the Civil War period on, when we're trying to reunify the country, this is when the country was looking for unifying images. And one of the primary unifying images was the Capitol Dome. As it was being built, it was literally Lincoln who caused this dome to be raised, this great white mountain, as I describe it, sitting in our U.S. Capitol. There was talk about stopping construction during the Civil War, but Lincoln said, no, let's continue the work because we want this dome to be a symbol of the Union. And inside that dome, which looks like when you lay on your back in the Capitol, which is what I do and I encourage other people to do, in that rotunda and look up, you are face-to-face with an image of a deity, George Washington.
Now, this is going to sound a little like Nicolas Cage's National Treasure, but you believe in your work, the DVD work of the American Rite, that the Capitol was dedicated to some kind of transformation and transfiguration. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that when you see George Washington on a rainbow, when you see Jesus on a rainbow, it indicates that they have affected what's called the transfiguration. They have become perfect. Now, when you're talking about perfect in this context, they're describing it in the same context as the way the Tibetans call their deified beings, which they call the Great Perfection. We have within our DNA, George, this ability to transcend our mortal coil, to spin it into a vortex of energy. And once we have achieved this, it's called the rainbow body. They show those who have achieved this great perfection sitting on rainbows or riding upon rainbow rings. And this is why Jesus is shown this way. This is why George Washington is shown this way. And what I believe all of the symbolism in the U.S. Capitol ultimately amounts to is a temple dedicated to this transfiguration. Now, remember, when America was founded, it was based on ideals from a period called the Age of Enlightenment, which was in the 1700s. And during this age, we reintroduced some ideas about life and liberty. And ultimately, one of the words that the Founding Fathers were fixated on, especially the Masonic ones, was the word perfect. They believed that America was a space and a psychological space where people could perfect themselves. And by perfection means transform yourself into a light being.
Now, I believe our friend Jordan Maxwell might say that some of the symbolism could be occult symbolism. Would you agree with that?
Oh, it's all occult symbolism. There's no question about it. But a symbol is essentially neutral, depending upon what kind of energy you want to put into it.
True.
And what I'm suggesting here is that we have tremendously inspirational imagery here. The U.S. Capitol is a temple of transformation or a temple of transfiguration. And if we begin to treat it as such and raise the bar to that higher ideal, it's going to compel not only us as Americans to visit the place and treat it differently, but also to compel those who work in that place, the private members, to also uphold a higher standard.
William, I want your take on stargates. First of all, your definition.
Well, there's three levels of definition for a stargate. A stargate's a communication link between stars. From the heart of one sun to the heart of another, it's all about connection and the interconnectedness of the universe. A stargate is a place on Earth that is a shamanic trance portal to other worlds, where energy pulsing from perhaps our sun, our star, or other stars or star systems is easily received. And so when you're inside the U.S. Capitol, technically you are in one of those places, one of these stargates, because these types of stargates, these portals, are usually marked by hills or mounds. And, of course, the U.S. Capitol is known as the Hill, which is symbolic of the primordial hill, the place of creation. And what happens at these stargates is that brain centers, especially the pineal gland, which acts as a receiver and transmitter of these stellar energies, can be activated in these locations. And, of course, the third level of definition of a stargate is a transportation device that moves people across galactic space. And, in fact, inside the U.S. Capitol, they have a beautiful statue called the Car of Time. It's in Statuary Hall, which shows a winged chariot with the face of George Washington upon it. That the technical biblical definition of that winged chariot, George, is it's called a Merkaba, which literally means space-time light vehicle. And when you go into the Statuary Hall with the Capitol guides, they say this is the goddess Cleo riding upon her winged chariot, traversing space and time.
On this planet, how many Stargate locations do you think there might be?
Gosh, there could be hundreds, George. I mean, I worked the Great Pyramid Complex in Giza. There's a location here in Nashville, the Bicentennial Capitol Mall, which is the sister complex to the National Mall in D.C. And I'm certainly now suggesting that the U.S. Capitol is one of these locations.
And I think you believe that there's one in Iraq somewhere too, right?
Without a doubt. 20 feet underneath the sands of Baghdad are the Stargate secrets of the Anunnaki, the ancient gods of Sumeria. Without question.
Now, these symbols that are in the Capitol, are they codes? Are they secrets?
Yes, they are absolutely codes. The whole place is encoded, the geometry of the place. One of the key images in there, I should mention that I picked up a co-pilot, if you will, a co-Stargate hunter. His name is Dr. Mark Gray. He lives in the Philadelphia area. He's a reader of my books, listens to Coast. He's been coming to my presentations for a few years and has just really stepped into looking at things in the way that I do. And one of the things that Dr. Gray pointed out is that when you look at the image of George Washington, he is not only sitting on a rainbow, he's in a circle of stars. He's in a star gate, the symbol of a star gate. The exact number of stars in that circle is 72, which Graham Hancock says is the preeminent number in the code.
Interesting. William, stay with us. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. With our guest tonight, William Henry. By the way, our friend Jerry Purnell, the science fact and fiction writer, writes to us and tells us there's an empty tomb at the bottom of the Capitol that was intended for George Washington, but he insisted on being buried at Mount Vernon, Not a lot of people knew about that. Thank you, Jerry, for passing that on. We'll be back with our dear friend William Henry in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with William Henry. William, let's talk a little bit more about some of these secrets at the Capitol. And that's kind of interesting fact that Jerry Purnell sent to us, that there was a tomb there at the Capitol, which I never knew of, for George Washington.
Yeah, I'm really glad that he brought that up. Thank you, Jerry. You know, George, when you take the tour of the Capitol, you go into the rotunda and you look up and you see this deified being, George Washington, sitting on the rainbow with the sun behind him. He's in a dome, which is, of course, the dome is a circle. It's the symbol of the universe executed in 3D. And so what you're asked to believe here or connect is that he's a deified being. He's in the heavenly realm. He's gone through the sun gate. The sun is a star, so he's gone through the star gate. Now, imagine a pole going right down from directly above, right down through that sun. Then you're in the center of the rotunda, the circular room at the heart of the Capitol. Then immediately underneath that is a room called the crypt. Now, the crypt is, and I'm going to explain why this is relevant. It relates to Washington's tomb. It's very important. You go into the crypt, which has these massive columns that are modeled after the Temple of Poseidon, the ruler of Atlantis in Athens. And in the center of the crypt is this gold star about 3 feet in diameter that marks it's called the seed of Washington. Directly underneath that, remember, we're on a vertical line here going from the apotheosis through from the sun gate through the rotundas directly through the crypt, and immediately underneath that on the third story down is Washington's tomb. Who's buried in Washington's tomb? No one. It's empty. Why? Because he's the American Christ. Christ's tomb is empty. What's in there? Well, what was in there when I was in there is what's called the catafalque, which is this wooden platform upon which the body of Abraham Lincoln was placed. His casket was placed on this. And what you see here in clear symbolism is exactly the same thing you see, George, inside the Great Pyramid. You see an empty tomb, an empty casket, because the being that was to be placed in there has transfigured. He's in the divine realm now. He is Osiris. He has become a god. In the tradition of Jesus, Osiris, and the Tibetan gods. That is the American ritual that is inside the U.S. Capitol.
Good work. Now, when you do your work like this, William, does it come easily to you? I mean, not a lot of people will see these things, will see the symbolism, will see the hidden secrets.
Well, I feel like in working with Dr. Gray, he's a chiropractor, and we've become close friends, and we're working on a book together, and he's got some stuff we're going to bring out next spring. This project, it's felt like we're on a wave, that suddenly I just intuitively started working on this about 6 months ago, and with not even realizing that they had the Capitol Visitor Center opening, and it just has felt like we're in this boat that has been lifted up, and we're headed to this incredible shore that will ultimately reveal this astonishing symbolism in the Capitol. And as we're going through there, you don't want to feel greedy, but it's like you just can't gather up these gold nuggets fast enough because nobody has talked about this. I've read all the books on the U.S. Capitol, the layout of D.C. Nobody talks about the Capitol and the dome and the symbolism that is inside of there from this perspective. And it's incredibly exhilarating to me.
Tell me about the Egyptian Temple of Man and its tie-in with the Capitol specifically.
Now, here is a major new it's simply a discovery. What happened is after Dr. Gray and I, Mark and I, go into the Capitol, we get back to his place in Philly, and we're kind of assessing what we've been looking at. And as a chiropractor, he readily recognized that the U.S. Capitol, in fact, has seven chambers that match up with the seven chakras of the human body, the seven energy centers that dot our spine, of which you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all good children go to heaven. That's the meaning of that children's nursery rhyme, because it's talking about the stairway to heaven in our body. the seven energy centers, the wheels called the chakras. Well, I got back home and started doing some work on this, and I pulled out Schwaller de Lubat's book, The Temple of Man, in which he says that the Egyptian temple at Luxor in Egypt, which is the place where all of the ancient Egyptian kings went to become gods, they had ceremonies in what was called the secret chamber there, where hundreds of thousands of people would gather, and the king would go into this secret chamber, he would link with his divine self, and then he would emerge before the crowd, and this is what this festival affirmed and renewed the king's divine right to rule. It's sort of like our present-day inaugural. In fact, our inaugurals are based on this ancient Egyptian rite. Well, as I'm looking at this, I said, wait a minute. What Schwaller de Lubat said is that this temple of Luxor is modeled after the human body. And so all I did is just simply laid the temple of Luxor over the Capitol, as you see on the coast site, and there it is. It's another perfect match. The U.S. Capitol is not only a temple where all the symbols of transfiguration are evident, but it literally is not just the people's temple. It is a temple of man. It contains the proportions of the divine human being.
Are there secret chambers in the Capitol?
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, a lot of the Capitol is off limits to we, the people. When you go there, one room I'm desperately wanting to get.
That's why I think they built this public visitor center to keep people away from the other stuff.
Bingo. You nailed it, George. That is exactly it. Here, let's give them this over here. Look at the look at the shiny walls over here, and no need to go into the Capitol.
And see everything else we're hiding, or what we do.
We're hiding. Right. I mean, one room I want to get into is the Senate Chapel, where only congressman and senator can go pray. It has this extraordinary stained glass window of George Washington praying directly beneath the all-seeing eye symbol. And boy, do I want to see that. And yes, without a doubt, there are other chambers in that Capitol that we know nothing about.
Is there an old Mason connection with all this?
Well, of course, many of the founding fathers and those who were instrumental in the creation of this country were Freemasons. And
true.
Yes, you can think of the U.S. Capitol as a Masonic lodge. There's no question that that is another way of perceiving this building, and especially since the Grand Master of the Masons in America, George Washington, is deified. He's literally thought of as a God-man. Equivalent to, and with all due respect, he is equated with Jesus Christ, George. There's no other way you can interpret this symbolism, period. He is the American Christ, and he is the Masonic Christ, the Grand Master, the prophet of this country. And so, yes, it is totally Masonic, and if you want to follow through on that, you can go out to Alexandria to the George Washington Masonic Memorial, which is this massive temple complex just outside of D.C. That is literally a recreation of the Lighthouse Temple at Alexandria. You walk in there, and there's this 35, 40-foot-tall statue of George Washington. And the idea is it's like walking into the Parthenon here in Nashville and seeing the 42-foot-tall statue of Pallas Athena. The reason they build those statues so large is so you get the point. You're a man, he's a god. You're a man, she's a goddess.
You're going to Egypt in January so of 2009, so it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be seeing Robert Bovall as well.
Yeah.
I want to talk with you for a few moments about his theories because I had Zahi Hawass on, and Zahi does not believe in Bovall's theory that it's the Belt of Orion. And I've had an Egyptologist on last week. He, too, does not believe in it. But I think it's pretty compelling, to tell you the truth, because the angles of how that one pyramid, the third pyramid, goes is almost identical to the belt, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And again, I mean, it's simply belief. Dr. Hawass is deeply invested in a certain worldview, and anything that competes with that, he's just going to dismiss out of hand. He probably looked at some of the evidence and certainly wasn't looking at it open-mindedly. One of the things that opens this up too, George, is when I started working on this research, again, with Dr. Gray, he lives in Philly, and I said, hey, Mark, you know, go take a look around Philly. See what you can poke around there. There's got to be stuff hidden in Philly. Well, check this out, George. There's five squares in Philadelphia, city squares in downtown Philadelphia. Those five squares correspond with the five primary stars in Orion, in the constellation Orion. In the center of Orion are those three belt stars that correspond with the three Giza pyramids.
Right.
Well, in downtown Philadelphia, exactly in that position where the three belt stars are, there are three buildings, Liberty 1, Liberty 2, and the Mellon Bank building. All three buildings have pyramids on top of them. Guess what pattern those three pyramids
are? The belt.
You
it's
got it.
It's got to be the belt. Yep.
You got it. Philadelphia is the constellation Orion. The street layout of Philadelphia is Orion. And Dr. Gray's got tons more about Philly on top of that. These guys have been working this country, hiding this stuff in plain sight for a long time, and I think now is the time for Nashville, Philadelphia, and D.C. to really come alive and bring out a true revelation of what they're really up to.
That's what I'm going to say, William. What are they up to? I mean, so they're hiding symbols that look like the belt of Orion. I mean, one would say, you know, all right, that's kind of a clever archaeological thing. But what does it really mean?
Well, what it means is that we are all to, in their model, we are all to become Osiris. We are all to become Christ. We are all to become Washington. We are to learn this symbolism so that in the afterlife, we will know how to navigate the stars as star walkers. Osiris went right through to Orion's belt. And what we have to recognize is that the reason they're doing this is so that we can become educated. We can become star navigators is the basic message.
Is there anything sinister behind it?
I personally...
See, you don't take the sinister approach as
no,
some of the others
do. No, I don't take the sinister approach. I mean, I recognize that you can go that way. I mean, there are researchers out there that say, oh, this is Illuminati and this and that. And, you know, when I go and I look up the word Illuminati in Webster's dictionary, it says newly baptized Christian initiate. And when I read what Thomas Jefferson said about Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati, he said they were concerned in the moral perfection of the individual. They believed that humans were ultimately perfectible, and they wanted to get government off our backs so that we could become perfect beings. How you can see something wrong with that, I don't know. What happened is that all these ideas were literally hijacked, I think, by some darker, perhaps more invisible forces that have sought to keep us from achieving awareness of this knowledge. This is why so many people aren't even aware of the symbolism inside the U.S. Capitol. Keep out is the sign that you see out front. There are terrifying guardians there. It is a place of mystery, and a lot of people kind of shy away from that.
Why the Egyptian connection, of all things, William, with so many things here in the United States and elsewhere?
Well, Zayuas will love this answer because Egypt is a shadow of Atlantis and America is the new Atlantis. You had this great civilization of Atlantis, this advanced pre-flood civilization that likely was responsible for the construction of the Giza Plateau and the Giza Grid and perhaps other aspects of Egypt. After the cataclysm, the priests come back into power, try to rebuild. They know that in the march of time, that through the eons, eventually Atlantis would rise again. In the 17th century, Sir Francis Bacon writes a novel called The New Atlantis, in which he envisions a technologically and spiritually advanced civilization in America, where America is the new Atlantis, and hence we have all of this Egyptian connection because that was the leftovers of the Atlantean civilization.
You know, you mentioned Philadelphia, and is it not true that most people who, you know, either get degreed in Egyptology or study Egyptology do so in Philadelphia, primarily more than any other place on this planet?
That's absolutely right. Yes, Dr. Huas, where did you get your degree? Philadelphia, University of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Why? Well, I think it's just part of the message here is that, yeah, come to America, come to the new Atlantis. This is where it's really happening. This is where this work is being done. And you know, of course, Dr. Hawass doesn't talk too much anymore about his Edgar Cayce connection, but the Cayce Foundation was instrumental in Dr. Hawass's the early part of his career. And, of course, Cayce is all about the Atlantean connection and the return of Atlantis.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue this incredible discussion with you, William, but I still think that somewhere along this symbolism, this hidden Egyptian message, I you know what? It's almost as if they knew maybe the Egyptians came here a long time ago. I don't know.
We can talk about that because there's evidence of that exact thing.
You think it's possible?
Absolutely.
Between 2004 and 2008, you were in Egypt nearly 2 months in different spans. What other things did you find out there?
Well, I learned to how these temples operate, and primarily my focal point, of course, is the Great Pyramid, and this is the great love that I share with Robert Bavall, because he explicitly refers to the Great Pyramid as a transfiguration machine. In other words, this is a machine you can enter into as a man and exit as a god. And when you look at this symbolism from this perspective, you're seeing an entirely different picture than what Dr. Hawass is seeing. And where it ultimately takes you, if you just pick up Wally Budge's Egyptian Hieroglyphic Dictionary and look up a key word, which is the word Aku, A-K-H-U. It means glory. It means wise ones, instructed ones. He says they're light beings. Well, the Great Pyramid was called the place of Aku. And all of this, what it leads to is this idea that the ancient Egyptians, perhaps even the Atlanteans, were somehow connected with a group of vastly advanced light beings that left this technology for us. And the ultimate message is that we are here on Earth in order to learn to perfect ourselves to become one of these light beings and go through the sun tunnel, the stargate sitting up there in Earth's orbit, into the heavenly realms, because as the Egyptians taught, the sun is the way and the truth and the light, and the way to heaven is through the sun tunnel star gate. And that's why George Washington is on a rainbow in front of the sun in the Capitol. That's why Jesus is shown on top of a rainbow with the sun tunnel behind him. That's the message.
What do you think of Edgar Cayce and some of his work?
I haven't studied Cayce that much. I just haven't caught the buzz. I would at some point like to get over there to Virginia Beach and tour the Cayce Center, see it for myself. I've heard it's a wonderful facility and they do great work there, but I just haven't delved that deeply into Cayce's work.
William, we've always called you an investigative mythologist. You call yourself that as well.
Mm-hmm.
To me, myth is something that may have been created from some actual events. Do you take that same perspective?
Absolutely, and that's the continuing quest that I'm on, is to look at these stories and then reconcile them with scientific fact or historical fact and say, hey, did this actually happen, and what are these stories ultimately saying to us? And the common denominator in many of these stories is that we are, in fact, divine beings within. And what the human quest is, the ultimate human story, is to reopen the gate of the gods that was closed for us, as, for example, in the Garden of Eden story. And the way we open that gate is by transforming, by stepping it up and becoming more than human, ultimately.
William Henry's website, williamhenry.net. Set up to handle a couple million hits right now in one instant, isn't it, William?
Absolutely. Come on. Check it out.
Bring it on. DVD, The American Rite, R-I-T-E. Where do you get it?
WilliamHenry.net. It's available from my website. And by the way, I have a tour coming up this spring by the same name, in which we'll be going from Nashville to Philadelphia to D.C. and directly looking at all of the symbolism.
That's in April, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about 2012 with William Henry on Coast to Coast AM.